Hey guys, we wouldn't normally do this, but this episode ended up so long that we decided we're going to split it into two parts. So for you patrons, you'll get to see the conclusion this Friday. For you plebs, you're going to have to wait a little while.
Or you'll have to evolve and become patrons.
You can always become a patron and see it. There's always that.
They put half of it behind a paywall.
I hate you. Fuck you, die. Fuck you, die. Yeah, we suck. We're horrible. We're exploitative. We're mean. But, you know, we are going to give you guys the rest of the episode eventually, even if you are not willing to pay. But you're not going to get it this Friday. You're going to get it like a month from now or something.
And I got
to
tell you guys, the back half of this episode is...
It gets way crazy.
You're not going to want to miss it. I mean, the front half was crazy as fuck, but the back half gets absolutely fucking insane.
I wouldn't normally say this, but the back half... I mean, this is the best way to put this. This is a shitty episode. I wouldn't normally say that, but yeah. It's a shitty... I mean, take that as you will, because I don't want to reveal any details, but it's a shitty episode.
There you go.
It's shitty in all the best ways.
In all the best possible scatological ways.
All right. So, you for you patrons, once again, conclusion of this episode on Friday. For you non-patrons...
Gotta wait.
Become patrons. But if you're not willing to do that, then you'll see the conclusion in a month or so. And that's just how it's going to be, bitch.
That's how it is.
That's the bottom line, because TJ said so.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Deep Fat Fried. How's everyone out there doing?
Well,
today?
I'm doing just splendid, TJ. And how are you?
Yeah, this is my new character, Mickey the Rat. Yeah?
Mickey the fucking Rat.
No, I'm Mickey the fucking Rat.
You're Mickey the Rat.
Yeah, I'm Mickey the fucking Rat, bitch.
Then what am I?
I don't know. You're the fucking turd.
I'm Mickey the Rat.
You're the turd on Mickey the Rat's fucking boot heel, bitch.
You're Nicky the turd. Nicky the toad.
Nah.
Nicky the toad sitting over there. Everybody knows who Mickey the
Rat is. You keep talking like that. You keep talking like that. You know, I'm just saying you might run into some trouble. You might have a little accident.
Like, what are you going to do?
You might trip and fall down, eh?
Fling some of yourself at me, Mickey the turd?
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll flick a fucking booger at you, eh?
Gross,
the battle for most derivative character is now commencing, huh?
TJ's been mining for gold since we started today. He's been digging for fucking green gold. You had your finger
He's always
up your
copying
nose,
Paul,
90%.
Huh, TJ? Copying Paul.
What?
Mickey the Rat.
What's that, Sonny? Sonny Jim, what?
Were you trying to steal Mickey the Rat?
What?
Everybody's favorite character.
Ricky the Fat, what?
Mickey the Fat.
People liked Old Man McGee. I was thinking about just going full Old Man McGee from now on. But I need to fucking write down some more things he says, like Sonny Jim.
That would be...
Sonny Jim.
I need to work a few more old man words in my fucking vocabulary.
That would be incredibly annoying, TJ. A
lot of people liked it.
Unlike Mickey
the Rat. A lot of people
liked
it, dude. A lot of people liked it.
A lot of people liked it, man. You got one Tajikafant comment, and that's...
It's great, TJ. I love it.
I really like the TJ's Old Man McGee.
Yeah, old man
like,
McGee.
Oh, yep. A lot of people liked it.
A lot of people, dude. Now, go check out the comment section of that video. It's fucking, it's all full of old man McGee.
Someone
love.
Did say they thought it was derivative from, what was it? Some show.
Some show?
Gravity Falls or something?
I don't think so, man.
Who knows?
I don't think so, bro.
I mean, TJ came out with it. Of course, it's derivative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think what they're saying is you just stole it, the impression from some TV show.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so, bro. I don't believe that
a little
to be
guilty,
the case.
TJ. I sense some guiltiness.
No,
me on the other hand, Mickey the Rat, totally unique.
Never heard of a
character.
Like that.
No,
never heard a character like Mickey the Rat in any type of media.
Yeah, I mean that's why I created him.
Oh.
So back in February of 2018.
Damn.
So basically
a while
2 years now. We pitted 8 champions against one another. In a hypothetical combat scenario. I don't know if you guys remember who they were. It was Conan the Barbarian, Black Widow, Mike Tyson, only non-fictional character to participate. Didn't make it very far, though. John McClane, James Bond, the man with no name, Batman, and Ellen Ripley. And when all the smoke cleared, Batman emerged as the definitive
Mostly
champion.
Due to you just riding the jock of Batman through the whole bracket.
Whatever. You rode Ellen Ripley's
Batman's fucking...
You were basically the fucking
black rubber
Bond
jock.
Shoved up her pussy.
Black rubber Batman jock right in your face the whole time. Well, I just think Batman, he'd be better.
Whatever, dude.
Didn't people vote last time, though? So you can't act as if it's totally TJ.
Yeah, but they voted
there's no,
because
there's
of
no
TJ's
voting this time
because
we're not live anymore.
Constant fucking pushing of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody knows Batman won. Okay. But Batman will be back. So, but in that first tournament, we did not allow any sort of supernatural or super technological characters. This time, we're allowing that.
We're sprinkling in some characters that have got some extra stuff.
We're going.
Some extra
powers. We're bringing it up a level. We're bringing it up.
I mean, you've got to. You can't just come back with the same exact fucking thing, TJ.
Yeah, exactly. So last time we generated locations for the characters to fight in. This time we're going to do a little bit more than that. So let me just go through real briefly. Let's first of all, let me just introduce you to our contestants today. So we have our returning champion, the Batman.
Oh, of course. God.
He's coming for you.
Who's definitely going to win?
He's going to win again.
Today's coming for you, man.
Definitely Batman.
I know I'm coming for him.
God, he's so mysterious.
RoboCop.
Fuck yeah,
Batman,
dude.
Is fucked already.
RoboCop's coming at him.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me, TJ.
We got the Bride from Kill Bill.
That's a pretty good choice.
Not a supernatural character necessarily, but...
I mean, I don't know. She takes a supernatural ass beating a few times and comes right back from it.
She definitely does.
I mean, she's got a sword that's implied, you know...
Yeah, it has sort of a mystical heritage to her weapon.
She comes into this fucking restaurant and literally slaughters an entire gang.
I mean, that she's
that's kind of fucking crazy.
Let's see, who else is there? The Joker. Fucking, I figure might as well put Batman's arch nemesis in there. We're using the Mark Hamill Joker since he's the more action-oriented Joker. We got the Mandalorian from the recent super popular television series, can you even call it a television series anymore? Whatever.
The Disney Plus series.
Yes. We got Shang Tsung.
Oh, man.
From Mortal Kombat. I got the old man Shang Tsung.
Well, yeah,
different.
I mean, that's what he really is.
Yeah, there's different iterations, but this is the true Shang Tsung. And we got Dhalsim.
So, representing the Street Fighter.
Yeah, we thought, we wanted a Street Fighter character in there. We kind of bandied about back and forth, like Ken, Ryu, you know, they're kind of boring. We wanted someone a little bit more interesting.
This guy's got crazy powers. I'm sure we'll hear about them tonight.
And Iron Man.
Wow. I mean, Iron Man's going to be tough to beat in the bracket, I think.
I think he's probably...
My initial thoughts are
pound
for
pound, probably the toughest motherfucker in here in terms of his power abilities and just the skill set he has.
You know, there's mitigating factors involved as well.
Oh, yeah. This is not just going to be straight up shit. So, like I said, we have the tournament bracket here. Last time we did select locations at random, and we're going to do that again. So we have a bunch of different locations here where the battles could take place. But we're also going to add some new mechanics to this. There's going to be dice rolls, right? So each character before the battle gets to roll 3 6-sided die, or dice, I guess, because it's plural. And so if the number here, the total number is odd... Then that means the character had time to prepare for this fight.
Okay.
If the number is even, like it is here, that means that the character did not have time to prepare the fight, and they were just thrown into it. So that can make a big difference into how this is factored up. And now if two of the dice match, like they do here with these pair of threes we've got, then that character is going to be given a handicap. So basically, we have a randomized list of handicaps here as well that could impair the character. If they roll all three the same, then they're automatically granted the first attack. So rolling two of a kind is a negative thing for the character. Rolling three of a kind is a positive thing. So also, just to make it even more spicy, if the total is 4, 8, 13, or 17. The random numbers that I chose, then there will be a twist added.
A plot twist.
A plot twist to the fight. I'm not even going to show you on the screen what they are, because they're supposed to be twists. So you don't get to know what the twist is going to be before it happens.
Sure.
And that's pretty much it. And then from there, we just kind of argue it out and talk about how we think the fight would go. And the characters will proceed from there.
I love these episodes. I'm glad that you decided to do another one of these, because these are my this is one of my favorite episodes we ever did.
Oh yeah, and it's been way too long. It's been almost 2 years since we've done it.
This is like right in my wheelhouse, dude. Sitting and talking about big fucking superheroes and shit beating the shit out of each other and who would win in a fight, dude. That just takes me right back to the ghetto.
Oh, a special thing as well. If the character happens to roll 666, pretty unlikely to happen, but it could.
It could happen.
If that does happen, then both characters will be given a handicap, and there's going to be a twist. So it's going to be basically like we're just going to throw a fucking huge monkey wrench in the whole works.
Got it.
TJ, I guess it's just every 2 years you're just going to get an itch to do one of these episodes, huh?
Well, I'm hoping we don't take 2 years to come back to it again. Let's see how it goes, though.
Yeah.
So it's been randomized here. These battles are random. You know,
you're doing double elimination,
and we're doing double elimination. So even if someone loses one fight, they will have they still have a chance to compete.
They come back through the loser's bracket,
right? And that's just to make sure, you know, because like someone could lose on because they got a bad venue or they fucking had some sort of disadvantage because of, you know, a handicap or something like that. So
anything could happen here,
right? So I mean, even if someone loses one fight, that doesn't mean they're necessarily out. You have to lose two fights to be eliminated. And last time this took about 2 hours to do, so that's why we should probably just jump right into it.
I agree.
So our first battle here is going to be Batman versus RoboCop.
Okay.
So let's see where they're going to fight. They're going to fight on a riverboat on the bayou.
Oh, that's definitely
which is
Batman.
A definite disadvantage for RoboCop.
Yes.
I would say so, yeah. Although, I mean, if they're on the riverboat, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, it just means, I mean, Batman can be knocked off the riverboat and be fine. RoboCop, I think, is going to sink to the bottom.
But he doesn't need to breathe.
Yeah, but I don't know. Would he short circuit at that point, or would he just be on the bottom?
I mean, he was out in the rain and shit in the movies.
Yeah, true enough.
I mean,
they got to think. I mean, it's Detroit. It's going to fucking rain up there.
Is he going to sink to the bottom? I mean, what's going to happen?
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to. Maybe that'll have to be addressed at some point. So let's do a dice roll for Batman. And see if he's going to end up with anything.
They have some prep time.
So Batman, it's an even number, so that means Batman is caught unawares,
and yes. he gets gimped.
And he's going to be handicapped. So let's see what Batman's handicap is. Recently vowed to never fight again, and is reluctant to break their vow.
Shit. That's a toughie.
So
not only does he get caught unawares, but he's going to be, like, pulling punches and shit for a while at least.
Right. He's going to be kind of reluctant to engage in this battle. So let's go ahead and do RoboCop's roll. Okay, so he also has an even number.
Damn,
so RoboCop is also caught unawares, and it looks like he's also going to get a handicap.
Okay, fuck.
Starts the round vaguely confused and disoriented.
Oh, wow, okay.
All right. So these guys basically just run into each other
on a
riverboat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Neither one of them really wants to fight.
I guess Batman.
So Batman has vowed. Batman has sworn off fighting.
He's never going to fight again.
And RoboCop is confused. Yeah, Let's say that RoboCop is malfunctioning, and
his system crashed, dude.
Yeah, he had some sort of system error or something. So he's confused and disoriented. Maybe that's how the fight starts.
Sure.
He, you know, since we know Batman is, neither of these guys is prepared to be in a fight. So, I don't know. How does this go? They're on a riverboat. I'm going to assume it's like kind of like a gambling riverboat.
Sure.
That's what I kind of envisioned.
Yeah, of course. Just going down the river, you know, a large crowd. People are fucking gambling.
So maybe RoboCop starts going. Maybe RoboCop was brought on for security and he starts going haywire.
Right.
And Bruce Wayne, who's on the riverboat, is like,
I gotta stop this.
Yeah,
I swore off violence, though.
Right.
So was he? I mean, he's probably just gonna kind of stand by and watch a few people get murdered before he's like, I can't just stand by and do nothing.
Well, maybe not murdered, but maybe RoboCop just starts flailing around and hurting people. You know,
right?
Yeah.
And I would see Bruce Wayne maybe tries to go over there, not restrain RoboCop, but talk him down a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
And in the middle of that, RoboCop still malfunctioning at the early part of the round. Reaches and just knocks Bruce Wayne across the fucking room. You know what I mean? Just accidentally.
Right.
And Bruce, you know, not vowing not to fight, doesn't defend himself violently or anything. So he gets knocked across the room. And, you know, RoboCop's rampage continues. So I think Batman at this point, maybe at the same time that RoboCop's rebooting, realizes he's got to do something about this RoboCop.
I mean, he has to. I mean, at this point, I mean, it's that or he's just going to rampage.
Right. He might kill Bruce. He might kill a bunch of people on the riverboat. He might sink the riverboat. I mean, this thing is clearly, and nobody around can stop it.
So he sneaks off, changes into his Batman gear.
Of course he's got that, just in case.
Right. I mean, you know, otherwise it's not Batman. It's Bruce Wayne versus RoboCop.
Right.
So it's got to be Batman. So for whatever contrivance, he has the Batman shit on him.
I mean, we know he can get into that pretty fucking quick.
He has the Batman, right. And you know, he has all the utilities that go along with that.
Right. He has the usual, you know, arsenal in his utility belt. You know, it has the batarangs and all that stuff. So I'm assuming that... him being Batman, he pretty much has a utility belt that's prepared for every contingency. So I'd imagine he'd probably start by, you know, trying to disable RoboCop with maybe some kind of, you know, like device that's going to like latch on to RoboCop
and
shock him.
Think about this. RoboCop is rebooted. And he's got that scanner thing that can find weapons and tell what the threat level of a person is and shit. And so when Bruce comes back out in the Batman suit with all his batarangs and smoke bombs and grenades and shit.
Yeah. RoboCop's like instantly like, this is a criminal.
Right. He's going to be like, drop it, creep, you know, and he's going to have his gun out. He's going to have his fucking...
Yeah, his super fast-firing fucking gun.
Yeah. You know, does Batman have mitigating measures for that? I mean, look, he's dealt with a lot of criminals and shit that have automatic weapons, so Batman's probably not going to be gunned
down
easily.
Batman has fought robots before.
That's what I'm saying, so yeah.
This is not, like, a new thing for him. He's not going to be like, oh, shit, a robot. This is throwing me for a loop. Like, he knows how to fight a fucking robot, so.
Right. He's probably going to have some kind of, like, EMP device or something. You know what I mean? Like, some kind of little batarang that disables electronics or some shit.
Right, so I think he's going to launch one of those. He's probably going to have to be dodging bullet fire as he does it. Maybe he's hiding behind like a upturned roulette table or something.
Of course.
And not only that, but any projectile that he throws at RoboCop is subject to being targeted and shot out of the sky as well.
Right. So do you think RoboCop is fast enough to shoot that out of the sky before...
I think that's what he's designed for. Like, he's not super fast in terms of being able to clear a lot of distance.
No, he's pretty slow moving.
But he is, like, his whole thing. You remember Murphy was, like, a quick draw
right,
guy.
Yeah.
So that exactly. was his whole thing. Like,
so he's quick on that draw.
Right. So he's, you know, and they programmed that in. They've used that facility that was left in his robo brain and put a positronic brain in there that takes advantage of all that muscle memory. So he's able to, like, you know, shoot very small targets. I mean, there's a scene where he just disables a bunch of people, and he just...
So all Batman really has to do at that point is if he throws a batarang or something and knock the weapon out of his hand, then he's kind of almost like, he can't really do much. Batman can really do whatever he wants with him at that point.
If he can disarm RoboCop, which, yeah. I mean, come on. They've got to have programmed RoboCop to not be disarmed very easily. And RoboCop's got that supernatural grip,
I mean,
too.
He would, but you have to figure that there's got to be some way. Like, even if he's holding that,
it's not just like a flesh hand getting hit by a batarang.
But if you throw like a batarang around it, you could potentially disable it as well, because if his hands stick together, he wouldn't really be able to aim.
Maybe Batman at this point, seeing that RoboCop, maybe he tries to throw like a batarang or some kind of EMP device, and it gets shot down. So Batman maybe at that point puts up some kind of smoke screen to kind of confuse RoboCop's sensors and to it's basically at this point it's trying to get close enough to RoboCop to disarm him, because you know it's obviously very hard to get close to him when he
RoboCop
has a gun.
RoboCop can see through walls though. Is a smoke screen going to work on him?
I'd imagine that it would at least confuse his sensors, if not necessarily. Because, I mean, there's, like, a lot of... smoke is... A wall is, like, a solid object. Smoke is, like,
harder
moving
to
around
see through
and
yeah,
shit.
And you can imagine it...
It probably confuses a little
bit. Any smoke screen that Batman would have would probably be effective.
I don't think it would be completely effective, but I think it would at least... I think it would at least slow RoboCop down in terms of finding his target, so...
It would have to.
I think that it would be moderately effective. We're obviously, in these kind of battles, we're kind of, like, having to guess at some of these characters'
abilities.
Not
guessing at all.
Oh, Paul knows. Never mind.
We all know. This is all fucking canon truth here.
So they're in, I'm assuming they're in like a gambling area here. I'm assuming Batman is probably hiding behind some kind of overturned roulette table.
Yeah, like the casino floor.
Batman want to retreat to an area that's less open and, you know, more suits his hit and run kind of fighting style? Wouldn't he want to find somewhere else on the boat?
Probably. I mean, I'd imagine that Batman's ultimate goal, if he can't
is an ambush.
If he can't disable this guy with an EMP burst or something like that, he's probably going to try to knock him off the boat.
Plus, if he's on the
knowing
main,
that he can't swim.
He's on the main gambling deck that's filled with people, too. Batman's got to take that into consideration. He wants to preserve.
Well, RoboCop, too, and I mean, he is malfunctioning towards the beginning of the fight, but I'm assuming that at this point he's rebooted. He's come to his senses. He doesn't want to hurt innocent bystanders either. So,
right.
Now he's going after
so
Batman.
Neither of these guys are going to be trying to harm, you know, anybody who's still
yeah,
in this
Batman's
room.
Batman's going to take this fight outside into the shadows. Dude, why is he's not going to fight in the open on a casino floor. He's going to get out of there, man. There's not, especially if RoboCop is obviously not targeting any civilians.
And
anymore.
He's going to want to use his, you know, he's going to want to be on the exterior of this boat, I think, because that's, you know, he can have, there's a lot more perches up there. He can climb up a smokestack. He can be on top of the little, you know, wheelhouses and shit. There's a lot more. It's a lot more strategically advantageous for Batman to retreat away from the populated area that's big and open.
Right, especially
so maybe he uses the smoke
after
bomb
he
to do
see,
that.
Especially yeah. after he sees that his first initial attacks are not going to be effective against this enemy.
Right.
So Batman probably does kind of retreat out from there. I'm assuming RoboCop pursues, but RoboCop's a little bit on the slow side, so he's probably kind of sauntering.
Right.
You know?
Well, that gives Batman kind of time to plan for what, you know, what he's going to do.
Yeah, it does give Batman some time to kind of figure out, like, what kind of attack am I going to throw at this thing once it does kind of get to where I'm at. So where do you think, we're on a, maybe we should pull up a picture of a fucking riverboat here so people can kind of like, we can kind
of
like.
Yeah, that might be smart to take a look at just so we can get an idea of the geography of the fight at this point.
So I'm going to pull up a picture of a riverboat so we kind of have an idea about what we're talking about here. Let's get one of these traditional ones with the wheel here. So it's basically almost like a little hotel on water. Let me just pull it up and kind of look at it for reference.
Right. So it's got multiple decks.
So yeah, you
that
see
are accessible to somebody like Batman from the outside. It's got this wheel thing at the back that could be used in the fight.
Oh yeah, I mean, I feel like if you're gonna have a fight on one of these riverboats, you definitely have to use that big wheel at some point.
It's got a smokestack too, so Batman could be perched up there waiting. You know what I mean? Hiding in the billowing steam coming out of it, waiting for fucking
anything
RoboCop
can
to pop out of any of these.
Anything he can do to confuse the you know RoboCop sensors is probably something he's gonna try to do.
I mean, the fact that he can be any and like look on this ship. I mean, having all the different levels. I mean, now. Well, the one that you want to notice, there's not much space on the outside. Like, it's not that far to fall into the water from here.
Right, but another thing is, I think Batman, because of his agility, is going to be able to move between those decks.
Oh yeah.
Super
can,
quickly.
I
whereas
mean, he can zip around.
He's RoboCop is not going to be able to move around those decks
very
easily.
He's got the grappling hook, you know what I mean? So he can be anywhere on any of these decks he wants to be. I think that Batman is going to realize, honestly, and this is just a byproduct of the place that this takes place, that this big hunk of metal is not going to be able to really do much if he gets it into the water.
Right. I think Batman's main goal is going to be let's fucking throw this thing into the water, because even if RoboCop doesn't necessarily die from being thrown in the water, he ain't gonna pose a threat to the riverboat.
I mean,
at that
look,
point.
We're thinking about the cinematic quality of this, dude. They're definitely like when they start this struggle, they're going to do it at the back of the ship, dude, and they're going to have that wheel in the background going, you know, the fucking propeller. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe Batman swings down from the smokestack as quietly as possible, trying to land one of his patented, like, pounces, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a double kick.
Like a swinging kick, almost.
Yeah,
yeah.
A swinging kick that lands, you know, right in RoboCop's back and knocks him onto this wheel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then RoboCop would be carried by the wheel into the water.
And we know that RoboCop is not super agile. He is super strong.
RoboCop would probably, I think RoboCop, when the wheel came back, would still be there.
Right.
And I think he'd be back with his gun and he'd be firing off a few shots at Batman. Now, would Batman realize that was going to happen?
Isn't there a fucking scene in that where he comes rolling up over some gear or something with his gun?
I think you're thinking
out?
Of Terminator 2.
Okay, all right.
With Arnold. But yeah, I mean, I think RoboCop could easily hold
conceivable
on.
Conceivable that RoboCop could pull the same maneuver.
Yeah, I'm
sure.
Thinking that he would hold on to that thing and that he would come back around and probably take some shots at Batman.
Right.
So it's a matter of, like, would Batman suspect that was going to happen at that point?
Well, I think you'd have to suspect it. I think Batman would closely watch the situation. He's not just going to be like, he's dead. I mean,
at this point, isn't the best thing to do, even though it disables the ship, the best thing for Batman to do would be to use one of his laser cutters or whatever to, like, detach this wheel from the ship so that, you know, RoboCop goes down with it.
That's true.
That makes sense to me.
Because RoboCop, it's gonna, you know, he's not gonna be able to get off of this wheel very fast.
He'd probably just plant some charges on either side of it, blow it up, and fucking it just plummet into the water, carrying RoboCop with it.
Down.
And that really is like
probably pinning him to the bottom of the fucking
river.
The river.
It's totally fair to go with this too, because if Batman got knocked into the water, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I mean, he's just gonna swim
he's
right
got
back.
An oxygen thing that he can pop out of his mask. You know what I mean?
He might even use the wheel, like you said, to come back up, jump.
He
back
might even
the
have
ship.
Water jets in his boots or some shit to help him swim faster for night infiltrations and shit. So he's got some gadget or gizmo that's gonna help.
I mean,
him
ultimately,
out.
Just with RoboCop being disoriented and just not. I mean, this is the non-ideal environment for him to fight in.
I know if he was just wet. I would argue that there's no problem with that because he's you know, he's a Michigan.
But he clearly is
robot.
Not going to be able to swim, and Batman's going to take advantage
of
that.
Well, Batman controls the environment in this setting. There's just no way. He's too fast. So
RoboCop probably wouldn't be killed outright by.
But he's going to be neutralized.
But he's neutralized, right. Batman has won the fight at that point. So I think Batman wins this one. But honestly, I think a lot of it was by virtue of just where they rolled to have met.
Oh, absolutely.
That water there, Batman's going to think. You know, that water is his best bet.
Oh, yeah. So
Batman wins.
Batman wins round one, but RoboCop is not out of it.
He gets another chance.
He is going to be able
to. In fact, the loser of this next upcoming bout will have to face RoboCop.
So, yeah, the next bout is the Bride versus the Joker.
Damn.
So let's take a quick look at what they're going to be dealing with. So I'm going to go ahead and take Riverboat on the Bayou off.
Well, we don't want to double roll.
Because we don't want to I'm okay with reusing handicaps and other stuff, but I don't want to reuse locations. The Sex Cult Mansion from Eyes Wide
that
Shut.
That seems like the perfect place for them to
during
fight.
A party. That does seem somehow
very
appropriate.
Cinematic. So it works
absolutely.
Out.
So let's first roll the dice for who's first, the bride. So let's roll her dice to see what she gets. Ooh, 16. Almost got the 666. So another even, so she is not prepared for the fight. She's totally been, she's totally seduced by the environment or whatever.
It could come down to these rolls.
It really could. And,
she also gets a handicap.
She does get a handicap. It's strange because I've rolled these dice a bunch of times and not gotten any doubles. Like I've rolled it like 10 times
in a row
without getting a double, but it's just like constant doubles during this fucking thing. So let's see what her handicap is going to be. Has a bomb attached to them that will go off in 5 minutes if
fuck.
They don't win the fight.
That is quite the handicap.
The bride is being seriously handicapped in this fight.
Right, and she's not even prepared for it. She's caught totally unawares by it.
I mean,
so not only does she have to put the Joker away, she has to put him away quick.
And doesn't
or she's dead.
And is it yeah, so she doesn't really know at this point, she doesn't even know she's going to fight. Because she's not prepared for any of this.
She's
shit.
Not prepared for any of this shit to happen. This is just something that happens out of the blue. So let's see if the Joker has the luck of the Joker. Nope, he also is going to get a handicap.
Oh,
and doubles.
And he's not prepared either. So basically, both of these people are being thrown into there, and we're having the same double. I'm just insane.
Damn.
I'm getting this many doubles. It really is.
It is.
Four in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. So let's see what his handicap is going to be. Oh, let's see. What's this total?
It's 14.
Okay, 14 is not one of the ones that gets a twist, so that's fine. I need to pay more attention to that for sure. Let's see what the Joker's disadvantage is. Starts fight off trying to reason with opponent. So that's really weird for the Joker. But
I love it. I love it.
Wow.
Okay. Well. Sure.
really strange for
the
Joker.
I like the twist.
But okay, so it's the bride versus the Joker. They're at the sex mansion from Eyes Wide Shut, probably both enjoying the orgy of activities going on.
And then they see each other from
and
across
then
the room.
Suddenly, through some contrivance, the bride is slapped with a bomb and is told, if you don't defeat the Joker in 5 minutes, it'll blow up.
Right.
And she approaches the Joker, and the Joker, for whatever reason, maybe he's just too into the orgy or something, is like,
wait a minute, let's talk this out.
Let's talk this out, girly.
I mean, it doesn't sound
completely
unlike
hey,
the Joker.
See, the Joker, because the Joker's not expecting it at that time. He's just kind of there like...
Yeah, he's just there trying to chill
let's
and
even
have
say,
a cool
the
orgy
The Joker
thing.
Isn't even kind of like, maybe he's kind of like off in the shadows, kind of like, he's not really, doesn't want to be public with his, you know, appearance.
And he also probably realizes, too, that he's looking at somebody that's directly trained to to fight, and he's an indirect type of
right.
fighter.
He's not.
He can handle himself.
The Joker. But, the Joker definitely has more of an advantage if he knows what's going on and can plan something out.
Right. And at this point, despite, he's caught with his pants literally down.
Like, if he was expecting it, this would have been a super easy fight because he could be like, we planted the bomb.
He'd do some kind of crazy shit.
Yeah, but, and we got to take into account, too, with the bride, is that her handicap might actually be a positive for her.
Because it really gives her a strong motive to fight him aggressively.
Right, and not only that, but she kind of specializes in taking people down quickly. I mean, she fought that whole room full of fucking assassin people, right?
Yes.
And it took a while for her to kill them all, but one-to-one for kills, she was mowing through them pretty fucking quick.
Yes, but let's remember, the Joker...
The Joker's not, you know, your
the
average
Joker is not a, the Joker is not a slouch. I mean, like, the Joker, he's not as tough pound for pound in a direct fucking fist fight as Batman. But the Mark Hamill version of the Joker is shown to be a very competent fighter who is really slippery and hard to hit.
Right.
So I'm thinking that he's going to try his little reason shtick, and she's just going to have none of it because she's not – she's going to see immediately there's no reasonable way out of this, and she doesn't really have a huge compunction about killing, being an assassin.
And she only has a five-minute time limit.
And she's got 5 minutes to do it.
Right.
I think she's going to attack then. There's
no
point.
So, I mean, she's just going to start right off the bat with an attack.
She's going to grab her Hanzo sword.
And another thing about these two characters is I don't think either of these characters is going to be super concerned with any civilian casualties that might happen.
No, I don't think either one of them is going to care all
especially
that
not at some
I mean, I guess the Joker would probably be more likely to go out of his way to use an innocent person.
Right. So I'm thinking maybe because of that, the Joker just, instead of just simply dodging her attack, maybe throws some unlucky orgy goer onto her blade.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So that maybe her blade is kind of stuck in some, you know, fat senator for a second.
Yeah, and she just pulls it out. Obviously, the Joker's going to create space. He's not going to try to fight.
Yeah, the Joker is not. I don't see the Joker trying to just step up and have this one-on-one confrontation.
Right.
I think he's going to try to. I think he's really going to try to run more than anything and just throw fucking obstacles in her way.
Right.
I mean, the Joker might be packing as well. I mean, it's the Joker.
I mean, the Joker.
I mean, the
Joker is certainly
going to
have weapons on him. I don't know if he's probably going to have a gun at least, but he's probably going to have some knives. He's probably got his little flower that shoots acid.
Doesn't he have like chattering teeth that blow up?
Oh, he's got all kinds of wacky shit. He's kind of like, I mean, just like Batman has a fucking menagerie of gadgets and gizmos, the Joker does as well. So
he's going to have access to that type of shit.
So,
then what does it come down to whether the Joker can evade the bride long enough for the collar to blow up?
I almost feel like it's kind of the Joker's specialty to be evasive. So,
yeah.
I think it kind of depends on, you know, do we think in this mansion setting she can catch him? And, you know, he's obviously, once she does catch him, he's still going to put up something of a fight. I think in a direct fight, she's definitely going to win.
Yeah.
Well, for sure.
If she can get it down to 1v1, but he has this whole mansion to play with.
Yeah, he's got a crazy environment.
And the grounds outside of the mansion, too.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
I mean, with his evasive abilities, I mean, but the Joker, is the Joker aware that she has this time limit? He's not necessarily aware
I don't think
of that.
He knows that, but I also think that, if he has any...
He's still going to fight the same way.
The Joker's going to try to escape, basically.
The Joker has never been someone who fucking steps right up to you face-to-face and goes toe-to-toe. That's his last resort.
And especially if he's caught unaware, I think the Joker's just going to try to get out of that environment. Like you said, either try to use the environment or just get out of her way.
I think he's just
going
to run away, and I think he's going to laugh, and I think he's going to throw obstacles in her path. I think he's going to fucking continue to use humans as shields.
We got to keep in mind, the bride is known for her dogged pursuit of very elusive targets.
Oh, exactly.
That's her specialty is kind of hunting down people that don't want to be found and fighting people that you know.
I mean, sure, but even Batman struggles to fucking track down the Joker. He's basically amazing detective.
She knows where he is. So I mean, like, he's not going to elude her in the sense that he's going to disappear.
Mansion that is possible.
He might take her somewhere. I mean, the Joker is pretty good at setting up that scenario where the hero goes into some big room.
I mean, if he'd had prep time,
and then you just hear his voice like. You know,
he'd had prep time. He could have set something like that up, but he's basically running for his life in this mansion.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Because if he can't,
but
take
he's not
her,
he's
if
not
he
taking
take her face to
he's
face,
not taking it very seriously though because he never
well,
does.
He's the Joker.
He's the Joker.
Yeah, he's the fucking Joker. But you know, I mean, I don't know. He's shown an ability to quickly improvise his environment, even if he's not necessarily got something planned out.
Right? Would he be wounded? because of his attempt to talk her out of it, though? Because I feel like she's getting a lot of the negative, but his negative didn't really come into it. Remember, that he's got to have a little bit of time at the beginning of this fight where he's trying to talk her out of it. He can't just immediately grab somebody and throw her on the sword.
That's true.
He's got to try and talk her out of it, and she's gonna at least cut him during that.
Yeah,
he's not running away. He's trying to reason with her.
So I'm thinking, he sees her coming. He's like, let's not do this here or whatever. She's gonna take a fucking maybe a thrust at him
or a slash, stab something. Him or slash him.
Yeah, so maybe he does catch a slash across the chest or
and
something.
And this is a Hanzo sword, so it's
and
gonna
he realizes,
cut deep.
Yeah, and he realizes this bitch means business. And I think that's when maybe he throws someone in her path and, they end up gored. Maybe that, slows her down for a few minutes.
Now,
not a few minutes,
he's
but a few
crazy.
Seconds.
He's crazy as fuck. So he's not necessarily going to be somebody that's struck by his own mortality if he was got a serious slash or anything. But he is going to be physically limited by it.
He's used to injury. So, it's going to cause, he's going to be bleeding out a little bit.
Right.
So that might be something that is a little bit disorienting just on a physiological level, even if it doesn't have the same psychological impact on him that it does on, some other people. Let's see. How does this environment kind of play into this? Now, we got a big room. I assume that there's probably security at this event, too. That's going to be reactive to what's going on.
It's this big rich party.
There's all these super wealthy people here. There's probably some bodyguards and other things in this area. So are they going to interact with this?
I would imagine if they're
swinging
swords around and he's, firing a gun around.
A senator just got gored through his midsection. So, things are, there's going to be people. There's going to be chaos.
But these are goons. I don't think they're going to be.
I think that they're
necessarily
chaos,
more of a hindrance.
But chaos is the Joker's forte.
The bride.
And that's going to play to his advantage.
Chaos is kind of both of these people's forte.
I would argue the Joker.
The fight against the fucking 99 thugs or whatever.
Crazy idiot.
It's nothing but chaos. It's her literally using the environment constantly.
She's going to grow more desperate as the fight prolongs, though, because, she has a 5-minute time limit that she's aware of. And
I do feel like she's going to view those people in a very, she's going to get very frustrated by people trying to stop her. I don't think the hired goons in this place are going to be able to stop the Joker or the bride.
Or really hinder them.
Yeah.
But I think that, it's going to, every time she has to waste a slash on some fucking doofus that's coming after her, that's a few seconds that is coming off that clock that's on that bomb that's attached to her fucking body.
Well, right. At the same time, the Joker would have to deal with them too. You're assuming that as well.
Oh yeah,
so.
But he's not. He doesn't have this. He doesn't know about this time limit that's going on. So
I guess you're right. That
for him, it's just like I get to kill some more people. It's fun. But she's going to be getting a little frustrated by that. I think it just really, this fight to me comes down to, can she corner the Joker with enough time left to take him out? Like, how long do we think a fight between the two of them, once she does have him cornered, is going to last? Because she's going to
win.
Not
very long.
She's going to win that fight.
If she's able to corner him, she wins.
Maybe like a minute. The Joker
I'm thinking like 30 to 45 seconds, probably.
Yeah, something in that neighborhood.
Maybe a minute if he fucking, he does have some gadgets he might be able to slow her down with. Like, he might fucking give a squirt from his acid flower. Maybe he has some Joker gas on him. I don't know.
I mean, one of the things, too, with the bride is that she's kind of supernaturally determined.
Yes.
Too. So having this time scale, while for a normal fighter it might hinder them, it probably allows her to tap into this.
This razor focus.
I mean, she literally digs herself out of her own grave.
Yeah, she punched herself out of her grave and
tracks down all these super, assassins and shit, kills rooms full of people. I mean, she's very determined, and once she knows she's got to do something, I mean, she's going to use everything in her power to do it.
Absolutely.
So it might drive her to be even more vicious than she normally is if she knows that she's got this time limit. Which we've got to factor in as well.
Yeah, it's a mansion, so there's always a lot of options of where the Joker can go in that house.
I mean, are we going to say that the Joker has his Joker gas on him? Because that could be a fucking big factor, too. That makes it pretty hard to get close to him if he's releasing, gas that turns people into giggling ghouls. If they even come close.
Sure.
I'm going to assume that he probably doesn't just have that on him at random. But if he does, that could
maybe the ability to do that once.
He has a little bit, but
if
not,
he had time to prepare, you know what I mean. But he was just fucking an orgy.
Let's just say he does not have that, because I don't think that he just necessarily. Maybe he has like a little bit to poof out of something or some shit, but I don't think he.
Not
he doesn't have enough to fucking, you know, fill the room with gas or anything.
Right.
No.
I mean, it really comes down.
Can the bride catch the Joker?
Right.
In the four, in, you know, can she catch him in 4 minutes and have enough time left over in that extra minute to fucking off him?
I think it's close, honestly.
I mean, it's a really difficult fucking question. And I think
and she also had fights that lasted.
You
want to
take you guys want to take a look at this fucking mansion? Sure. Like some shots from it. Let me just pull up some.
Yeah, let's take a look. Let's get an idea of the geography.
I mean, I think it's possible to evade someone for 4 minutes, but I mean, at the same time,
especially
if you're the Joker.
I mean,
if she's close enough, does she end up killing him too?
At first, I thought it was a really weird match, but you know, the more I think about it, like they kind of have complementary sort of characteristics.
Yeah,
where it's like he's doggedly evasive, she's doggedly pursuant. You know, let me just pull up a few different pictures here so we can kind of get a lay of this mansion, which is a huge place. So we don't really see a whole lot of the inside of the mansion in the movie, but
we could see like the altar.
But you could see here, here's an external shot. You can see it's quite a large place.
Yeah, three stories.
The grounds are quite large. I don't know that they'll necessarily end up on the grounds at any point, but
they could.
It definitely could
crash through a window or something. I mean,
so you see here's an interior shot of a large room where I kind of envision the thing starting maybe. But there's all kinds of little rooms and stuff in this mansion as well.
Nooks, crannies, pillars to duck behind.
So there's lots of
kind of benefits both of them, honestly.
Right. There's a lot of hiding places.
You know, if the Joker does have his Joker gun, she's got a lot of things to duck behind real quick using her ninja skills, you know what I mean?
So it's kind of hard to, I mean, like, yeah, it's just,
I think, like with the previous fight, the bride might know that, because I think that if she gets him outside the mansion and in that big wide open space.
Yeah, that'd probably be a place where
she's got the advantage at that
point. Yes, because then there's not all these little nooks and crannies for him to hide in anymore. And
so if she can chase him into a place
space,
where he's got no choice but to go out that way.
Or maybe just, even if she decides, like, hey, I'm not going to try to for a killing blow here, but I'm going to fucking kick him out this window into this fucking, you know,
right,
open area.
Like, even if she's not able to land a bunch of sword slashes on him.
I mean, that's almost assuming the Joker's also going to go toe-to-toe. I don't know. If he keeps,
well, she wants to force the issue.
Well, he's
got a lot more places to hide.
If he keeps jumping away and running away, I mean, it's kind of hard to kill someone if they're just purely running from you.
Well, he's not infinitely dodging. Batman has caught him. He's been beaten before.
Right, he's not uncatchable.
You know what I mean? He's not going to be literally evasive to the point of not being able to touch.
Batman has greater agility and dexterity.
I mean, we can imagine she lands one or two hits on him at least,
yeah,
you know, even if he is evasive.
I think that it's kind of, you know, even when being pursued by Batman, he is kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to catch the Joker quickly because he is a slippery fuck. You give him a place like this to play in. You know, I feel like it's going to be very hard to catch him. But, you know, given the bride's speed and, like, the way that she's able to, like, you got to look at her fight with the crazy 88, where she's able to literally move from the bottom, you know, from the first floor to the second floor just by using the environment around her.
She's able to swing on
things.
Doesn't
need stairs. Can, you know, she's
balance on things.
She obviously has a great deal of environmental and situational awareness.
I mean, this is the kind of place that a badass samurai fight would take place, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of in her wheelhouse to fight in a place like this. Filled with thugs that she's got to cut down.
We both know that neither are expecting the environment, so I wouldn't say.
Well, she's definitely going to have her sword on her.
Well, yeah, sure.
She carries that sword with her everywhere, so she's.
No, I agree.
She's got that sword. Let me ask you this: does the Joker have a fucking gun on him?
I think he'd do. He would. He's not going to. I mean, you know, knives and lint and guns. You know what I mean?
I think that you know, this version of the Joker, I think, typically does have a gun.
Yeah.
So, that's going to be something that's going to slow her down as well.
Not beat her, though.
She's gone against guns before. He's not going to shoot her with it. I don't think that the battle is going to end as easily as he just gets a shot off. And you know, she's just...
And even if she is
dead.
Shot somewhere on her body, she's known for taking horrible injuries and
but might
coming
it,
through it.
Might it slow her down? You know, if he does happen
to
get some kind of injury on her,
I think
does
without,
it slow her down enough that she can't fucking beat the clock?
Well, I think without planning on either side, I think if the, like, look, if the match wasn't time limited the way it is, and the, or the Joker did, or maybe if the Joker had a plan, the Joker would probably then win, but... I think with the circumstances, I would have to say in my vote would just be the Joker simply because I think he could evade her for that long. Not because I think ultimately if they had to fight, she would probably win the fight.
I'm going to step out for 1 second. I'll be right back.
But all I mean, I think that's the only thing that really gives me this because I'm not exactly sure. I mean, she could catch him in that time period, but just her being limited in that way, I think
she's going to be twice as driven too to find him. She's not going to be wasting any time. She's going to that instinct of hers to win is going to kick in.
But I mean, like, look, if they were in a close quarters place, then that wouldn't matter because I think that yet again. But a mansion is that's a pretty big place to run around, and the Joker is no slouch to the extent. I mean, if he can move around enough, even if someone's trying to attack you, even if they have you know similar agility, it's still going to be very difficult to catch them. Because they're just constantly in an evasive mode. I mean, and the Joker's not just dodging. He's got other things in his wheelhouse. Like he can throw bombs and grenades and shit. And that's going to slow someone down. Because she's going to have to dodge their grenades. She can't just go keep attacking. I mean, at some point, if he uses, you know, the obstacles he has, like guns or bombs or gas or whatever. Well, I guess we said he didn't have enough gas. But that stuff, that's going to buy him time between each time. Because then a little explosion goes off. That's going to give 10 or 15 seconds. You know, if there's smoke, that's going to give additional time for evasion. No, yeah, obviously over enough of a time period, you're going to have, well, there's not enough we can do. You can't, obviously, you can't infinitely dodge. You know, they're both going to have some time, well, you know, they're going to get exhausted or worn down. So, of course, I don't know. This is tough.
Yeah, this is not an easy one. She does have the exploding heart technique, too.
But then she'd have to be able to land that solidly.
Right.
So, I mean, if you assume that, then you assume she's going to win.
I mean, it's not, I mean, if she, look, I mean, like, I think we agree that if she corners the Joker, she's got him. So, the only question is, can she catch him in the time that she has?
I mean, the Joker can be cornered in these crazy environments.
Yes. Now, look, I mean,
it's happened before.
I think that he can, he definitely can be cornered. I really feel like the fucking time limit does work against her, because if she had unlimited time to do it,
then it wouldn't matter.
I feel like she would definitely win this fight.
I mean, she's gonna be more driven, but
with that 5 minute time limit, I don't know that she wins this fight. I mean, I think she. I mean, I just feel like it could go either way. But, I mean, she is a very determined character. We've seen her go up against the odds and fucking prevail. Then again, the Joker. We're kind of more used to seeing him lose because, you know, he's a villain. He does get his ass handed to him by Batman on a pretty regular basis.
Especially the version of the Joker that we're talking about here. He's right. Constantly in and out of Arkham because he got his ass kicked by Batman.
So yeah. You can't say that he's some kind of uncatchable being.
No, definitely not. He's definitely catchable.
I think that I ultimately think you got to give it to the bride.
I mean, maybe by a hair. Just knowing how determined she is.
I think it's a razor-thin margin, and I mean, it really feel like it
if
could
one
go
of these
the
roles
way.
Had gone a different way, like if the Joker had had some pre-planning and he knew...
If the Joker knew, I would. It wouldn't even be.
Yeah,
I'd be
if
like,
he knew
if
she
Joker,
had the bomb on her, you know, because if he had pre-planning, then we could just say he put it on her.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
I think
he had ways to get away from
right.
If
set
the
up in
Joker
the
had a, if the Joker knew beforehand what was. I mean, if he had time to prepare, I think that she'd be fucked. But
I still think the Joker could get away, and I still think the Joker would probably win the fight, even under these circumstances. But, I mean, if you guys want to give it to the bride, I mean, I can see the argument from both sides.
I think it's a real tough one for me. It's almost like a coin flip in my head. But just the fact that this version of the Joker has been caught multiple times, has been in and out of Arkham. I mean, really, every version of the Joker has been in and out of Arkham. So we know
right.
He can be caught. We know he can be pursued successfully. Whereas the bride, I've never really seen her fail to
and, I mean,
get her man.
He
so.
Can be caught in these crazy old warehouses that are filled with his traps and crazy
right.
Nightmare shit. And this is just, you know, a mansion. He's caught flat-footed here.
Yeah, so
and I think
no
that,
time
that
prepare,
alone, that's really the mitigating factor
I think
for me.
For me, I got to do the bride.
Well, you're
by
wrong,
a hair.
But, you guys are wrong, but...
But don't worry.
By the edge of her Hanzo blade.
The Joker is not out of it yet. He's going to be back for another round against RoboCop, and we'll
oh,
see
God.
How that goes.
Travesty, dude.
Hey, the ultimate criminal versus the ultimate cop.
Joker
you know?
Was, yeah, the Joker was robbed, dude.
All right, so next is The Mandalorian versus Shang Tsung. So this is another one here. All right, let's see where they're going to fight, and let's get rid of the sex cult mansion. I'm glad that one came up, though. I am, too. Let's see where they're going to fight. The research base from the thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, okay.
So they're in the Antarctic.
Right.
I kind of feel like it kind of makes sense for them to fight there.
Yeah, weirdly, maybe.
Close quarters, really, really bad weather outside.
The Mandalorian is going to roll an eight, which means that there is going to be a twist on this. And that means it's an even number, so he's not prepared for the fight.
He's unprepared, and we get a plot twist on the fight.
Oh, so shit. Let's see what the plot twist on the fight is going to be. And we can't do two plot twists, so if the other one gets a plot twist number, it just whatever.
They share
just
a plot twist, because this is going to affect both
zombies!
Of
them. They're everywhere!
Oh, maybe it's just the thing. The thing is rampaging throughout the fucking building.
Yeah, maybe they're zombies of the thing. I don't know.
Holy shit.
Zombie so, thing.
There's
Fuck.
Zombies everywhere throughout this facility while they're doing combat. So they not only have to worry about each other, but they also have to worry about these
zombies.
Well,
that's a huge environmental factor for
trying
sure.
to eat them all. So let's do the dice roll for Shang Tsung here. So
he is
going to get a handicap.
Yep.
And that's a 16. So what's all these evens? So, once again, not prepared.
Fuck.
Once again, doubled. So let's see what Shang Tsung's handicap is.
That's a terrible cult.
Is dealing with depression.
So basically just Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
So Shang Tsung's miserable. He's not happy.
There's zombies
really,
everywhere.
There's zombies. He's really kind of depressed. Maybe he's got seasonal, you know.
Right.
Seasonal fucking depression.
Affected. Yeah.
Because he's in the Antarctic and everything's, you know, white and miserable. So maybe, you know, I don't know how much that factors in. He's just kind of a miserable fuck.
Okay.
He's not very motivated. He's like, goddamn, another day, another zombie fight in the fucking facility against, you know.
I mean, I have to feel that Shang Tsung's going to be a lot more at home with zombies, though.
Well, Shang Tsung really kind of fits the thing base because he can change into pretty much anybody. And
yeah, he's almost kind of like a thing himself.
I mean, at
the
very least.
The whole shape-shifting thing.
At the very least, coming into this fight. And one of the reasons Shang Tsung is such an interesting one is because he's basically everybody in Mortal Kombat, at least.
Right. He can mimic every character's
moveset. That's just part of his power. His power is he can be anybody in Mortal Kombat.
Right. So are we going to say that he just has the power to imitate anyone in their skill set, or are we saying he can still limit
I mean, I think we
got to
limit him
characters.
At some point, because then he could just, you know. I think, but he's got all the Mortal Kombat characters at his disposal. I mean, I don't think that's arguable.
That's fair.
At least from the first one, right? Or from all of them.
I mean,
all the ones he was in.
All the one, I mean, he's been in. He's in the current iterations, and you know.
So
I mean,
I'm not as familiar with the newer characters. So
I mean, we'll just go with the original fucking.
That's why I was just thinking with the like original
the
classic,
one and
like,
two cast or whatever
Raiden
the fuck.
And fucking that lot.
Right.
So you've not actually watched The Mandalorian, Paul, but you know he basically has a similar skill set to like Boba Fett.
Right. Which I do understand. He's right. got. You were telling me earlier. He's got
the rocket pack.
He's got a rocket pack. He's got a flamethrower. He's got a gun that mm-hmm. he can shoot.
He's a tough guy.
He's got bombs. You know.
Yeah.
He can
he's got
throw.
A lot of little explosive charges and stuff. You know, he's got the typical weapon. He's got the armor made from what's that fucking metal they make all their shit out of.
I don't know what it is.
Besker steel, which is like super strong.
But I'm assuming that Boba Fett had that same.
Yes, I believe so. So it's basically impenetrable armor. It's not. It doesn't cover all of his body though. He has a chest plate and a helmet, and you know some shoulder pads and I think some knee pads maybe.
Right.
But it doesn't cover his entire body, so there are vulnerable spots on him. Shang Tsung is depressed. I don't really think that factors too much into it, but because he's already a miserable old sorcerer.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, that's not, yeah, whatever.
But there are zombies, and they're in the Arctic, so the environment is definitely a factor, and there's just zombies all throughout this facility.
It's close quarters, too, because they can't really be, well, I mean, I guess the Mandalorian could go outside. I guess both of them could go outside, but this is starting in the research base. Those were all very small, kind of cramped environments.
So
connected by tubes.
So I think if you're the Mandalorian, you're gonna pretty much want this battle to go outside because you're more protected from the elements,
right?
With your full, you know, body armor.
He's definitely had to hunt some people down on.
I mean, Shang Tsung's a sorcerer, though. I mean, is that really gonna?
I don't think
affect him?
I don't think it's negatively going to affect Shang Tsung, but I also don't think he's, you know,
but well,
specialized.
No, well, I'll
specifically to fight
the main
winter.
Thing though too is if they do go outside. the Mandalorian has that rocket pack that is not really much of an advantage inside, but outside, it's a huge fucking advantage because it means you can fucking attack from the air.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think the Mandalorian's going to want to fight Shang Tsung close quarters.
Right, so, but that's how the fight starts out. So, how does this bout begin? There's zombies everywhere. I don't know why exactly they're fighting each other, but for some reason they come at odds.
A limiting factor for Shang Tsung is that he's a tournament fighter by trade. He's used to the 1v1, and we've got zombies everywhere.
Right, so
Whereas the Mandalorian's going to be way more used to going into like a hostile gangster's base and handling multiple targets.
We see him during the course of the series engage multiple targets tons of times, whereas Shang Tsung is more of a 1v1 kind of style
fighter.
I mean,
that's what he's specialized in, right? He's specialized in going into the arena against one other dude and using his trick.
Now, we shouldn't assume that Shang Tsung can't confront multiple enemies.
No,
but we've never seen him do it.
Right.
So.
It's outside of his specialty. Let's put it that way.
But he does have energy attacks, so he could keep them at a distance.
He's got the screaming skull fireballs.
Yeah.
Yes. That not only shoot out like a normal fireball, but he can raise them from the ground as well. So they knock people up in the air.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that the Mandalorian has some weapons at his disposal. I mean, like, charges and things of that nature. So, like, obviously, they're going to have to confront zombies while they're confronting each other as well. So these zombies are going to be going after both of them. Now, Shang Tsung, I think, is a little bit more vulnerable to the zombies because he doesn't have as much coverage.
Right, but he does have access to some different coverage, though.
Right, he could easily
transform into one of the robot
characters from MK2 or something. Yeah, even if he just wanted to be a more armored character, he could be,
Jax.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he could actually up his fighting abilities that way.
So I don't think it's as much of a, but I do think it is a slight point against him, just because it's not his specialty to be handling a room full of people. He's more of a 1v1 guy, whereas the Mandalorian, I think that gives him his first win, his first hit. You know what I mean? In this is that the Mandalorian is going to be able to take out two or three zombies and throw something at Shang Tsung that maybe grazes him or injures him a little bit.
I think probably one of the first things you're going to see him use is that sort of like grappling hook thing that he's got. You know, I think he's going to maybe after he takes out a few of the zombies, I think maybe he's going to grab one and kind of just swing it at Shang Tsung, who I'm assuming is in his natural form.
Well, he's caught flat-footed because he's an old man, so he's got to be in his old man form. If he had time to plan, he could have started as anybody, but he has to shift. So he got that first attack, I think, has to go to the Mandalorian.
Right, so I think he hits him with a zombie, honestly. I think he ropes a zombie and fucking swings it over there. At that point, Shang Tsung's going to get pissed.
Right. He's going to be very angry at being knocked off his feet.
He's probably going to transform into somebody else.
And I mean, honestly, Shang Tsung can turn into Kentaro.
Yes.
Who is a big four-armed, giant freak as well.
I honestly think he'd probably want to transform into Goro at that point because he can use two of the arms to kind of push the zombies away.
Right.
Goro and the other two
to kind of go after. Whereas Kentaro, there's like so much surface area of just unprotected flesh for zombies to munch on.
Right.
You know?
And he's a horse, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like
a little unwieldy in a base. So, yeah, he either turn into Goro or one of the armored guys.
Yeah, he's either going to turn into someone armored where the zombies are less of a factor, or he's going to turn into Goro, I think, where he can use two of the arms to kind of keep the zombies at bay while he's
or Jax.
With the
Jax
others.
Has got that knockback thing where he pounds the ground really hard and it makes everybody go flying.
Plus, he's got robot arms that make him
So he might be able to clear out some zombies with that real easy.
His robot arms are not very vulnerable to zombie attack either.
Right, he can reach out and just grab them with them and beat,
and
you
some,
know,
and some
blunt
of the Mortal,
force.
And some of the Mortal Kombat characters also have, you know, I mean, there's other weapons that can be used. I mean, he could pick one with like a sword or a gun as well. That could also
sure. Aaron Black has guns.
Yes. Obviously, it's not going to take out the Mandalorian that easily, but it's going to, at least make him have to die.
Well, he's got to worry about the zombies too.
Yeah. So you have zombies. Now, if he shifts into Goro, he has the advantage of being able to, obviously attack and rip the zombies apart and throw them at the Mandalorian.
Or just knock them across the room at such velocity, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because, we're talking about a super powerful, strong being at that point.
And he can also kind of teleport. Goro can jump up in the air and land across the screen.
And
you know
can't
what I mean?
Shang Tsung actually legitimately teleport in his own form? Can't
I don't
he, like,
think so.
No.
Move across
I
the screen?
I might be wrong. He might have some kind of move across the screen ability, but I don't know if
necessarily
a teleport.
I could have sworn he had some sort of teleport ability, but I could be wrong on that. It's been a long time. So we'll just say that that's not a thing.
I mean,
but,
if he can turn into those characters and they can do it,
he can turn into characters that have teleports.
Right.
So like the robots, I think at least one of them has a drop through the floor and appear behind you type of teleport.
Right, which is gonna totally throw the Mandalorian hasn't dealt with
Scorpion
something like
that. Has a teleport.
Yes,
where he can kind of jump off one side of the screen and appear behind you with a kick.
Yeah, so we have to figure out what exactly is Shang Tsung's strategy.
I think the beginning of this is going to be dealing with the zombies, because it says zombies, they're everywhere. They're in this tight base, so they're literally both surrounded by zombies. So I don't know if either one of them is going to be able to focus on the other for the first part of this battle.
I would guess this. They come into the base. It's like it's kind of like the eerie zombie. There's nothing there. Then somehow the zombies get loose, and they're both forced to have to deal with each other and the zombies. So, I mean, they're going to have to do both.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, like I said, the Mandalorian's taking them out. How is Shang Tsung? Is he just going to snap their heads off? Is he going to fucking fireball them?
I think Shang Tsung turns into either Jax or Goro and just starts knocking them across the room.
Yeah, and I feel like
bluntly.
I feel like he's not only. I feel like he's going to try to after he got hit by a zombie, he's going to be like, "Oh, you want to throw zombies? Do you?" And he's going to start throwing fucking major zombies.
Right.
At the fucking, at, you know, Mando and shit. So he's going to, it's just going to be like, I think that you're going to end up with a, like, sort of a zombie game of ping pong or something where they're just literally trying to hurl zombies at each
other. Using zombies as part of the,
right, which.
So the Mandalorian's going to have to evade.
The Mandalorian's going to be, at that point, he's going to be like, oh shit, I didn't know what I got into. He's going to go more evasive at that point.
Which he's designed to do. He's right. An infiltrator and a bounty hunter, so.
And I think he's going to basically try to take cover. In the base, and I think he's going to try to, like, you know, keep this. He's going to be up, keeping zombies at bay, and also trying to dodge these corpses that are being thrown, you know, flung at him.
Right. Because once he's aware of himself, Shang Tsung can shift quickly. I mean, in games, he shifts in the middle of combos.
Right.
As he's punching you as Jax, he can be Goro. He can be Sub-Zero. He can
right.
be Baraka.
So it doesn't take a long time for him to...
So if he gets up close and personal with the Mandalorian, I think that even though the Mandalorian's got this really diverse set of tools for taking down targets, I think that Shang Tsung's got the adaptability.
You can't prepare for Shang Tsung, really.
Right.
There's no way.
Shang Tsung has got the ability to be anything he wants to, within that limit, but just a ton of badass fighters with different skill sets.
Yeah, and it's pretty hard to beat even one of those
fighters.
And how
does the Mandalorian close
fight?
The gap if Shang Tsung can, then assumes a character with teleport abilities?
Right.
He can't.
So if Mando's trying to run down a hallway and maybe he's faster than Shang Tsung in his current form, Shang Tsung can just turn into Sektor and teleport in front of him.
Right.
And so the question is there a way for the Mandalorian to even this fight by taking it outside? Because I think if he can take this fight out into the blizzard conditions outside of the Thing base, which we got to assume he can, parts of the movie take place out in that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's too hard to get out.
And once again, he's a strategist, so he knows that up close, this guy that can turn into all these crazy fighters with all these different weapons and shit, he's not going to be able to take him in these close quarters.
So
he's going to want to take this fight outside.
The question is, can he get outside and lure Shang Tsung outside before, you know, he's just overwhelmed by this fucking opponent?
And, I mean, I think, you know, him being a badass Mandalorian, is there really a difference between fighting a room full of crazy specialized thugs and fighting one guy that can be a room full of crazy specialized thugs? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, you know, when you're fighting an opponent that can change their entire ability and skill set at a whim, I think that's a pretty tall order, especially when you're talking about, you know, it's not really a room full of thugs. It's one guy who can be several dozen top tier fucking fighters
right.
with
and are there any
unique
characters,
skill sets and abilities.
And are there any characters that if they do take it outside that Shang Tsung could assume that kind of takes that advantage away?
I mean,
obviously, the cold, they're Sub-Zero.
I mean, once again, all of these fight... Well, not all of them. I guess some of them have backstories of being soldiers and shit. Like, Jax and Sonya Blade, they're super soldiers. So they're fighting other battles. Depends on who he turns into.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these characters are just like kind of Shang Tsung. They're kind of married to this 1v1 mentality. And not necessarily, like, using a ton of the fucking background to help them. Now, in some games, you can grab things out of the background.
Well, the thing is, though,
I just feel like if you do get the fight outside and the Mandalorian is able to take to the air, you know, I mean, a lot of these dudes.
I mean, there's nobody in the fucking
these guys have
Mortal Kombat thing that can just outright fly.
No, there's not, and they have They have the ability to Raiden. Shoot. Raiden.
Raiden can fly.
Raiden can fly.
So, I mean, like, he can, you can shoot, like, a lot of these characters have projectiles, obviously. I think all of them pretty much do. But, you know, it's going to be very hard to hit someone who's, you know, just deftly darting and weaving through the air. Especially,
I mean, Raiden is the god of thunder, too. So taking him outside into a storm.
That's what I'm saying. If you
That's definitely what Shang Tsung is going to shift into then.
If he can actually use the Raiden abilities, I mean, he can just literally call down the thunder on the Mandalorian. He's not fucking quicker than that. I mean, you know,
but I mean, like, Raiden, you know, he's a super powerful character, but, like, there's human characters in Mortal Kombat that canonically can fight toe-to-toe with Raiden, even though he is a god, so.
That is true.
So we can't fucking,
Under more limited circumstances, though. We've seen arena fights with him, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, limited scope, limited area. One kind of room where it's 1v1 and you beat on the other guy till he goes down. Raiden being a great tactical fighter, I don't know.
Then in the more modern storylines, Raiden does a lot more of that. I mean, so if we're limited to the tournament style fighting, I mean, I still think that, I mean, Raiden would be tough to fuck up outside. You know, he's not going
to be able
slouch.
To call down the thunder, literally.
That's what I'm saying. And fly it very quickly.
Where is Baby Yoda?
Where's Baby
Yoda? No, I'm serious, because, I mean, like,
Baby Yoda's not here.
Well, but that, I mean, that's the thing, though, is, like, if the Mandalorian, you know, his handicap in the show is that he's, you know, got this child he's trying to care for at the same time. So, I mean, like, is that going to be a factor, or are we just assuming Baby Yoda's somewhere off?
I think we assume
safe?
Baby Yoda is, off being a meme on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Baby Yoda's fine.
Well, I mean, like, he's, you know, he's crucial to the fucking plot of the fucking thing, though, because he is, like, kind of the...
It's like saying Shang Tsung has to take a shit now and again.
Yeah,
and he's handicapped by... I mean, we're you know, I don't want to limit these guys any more than they've been limited.
Okay, gotcha. I mean, that's just, like, in the show, canonically, he's got to protect this kid while he's trying to fight all these enemies and stuff.
When it comes to neutralizing the base full of zombies, let's just take it piece by piece. Neither one of these guys is going to have a problem with that. We've established.
It's going to be a mild irritant at worst.
Whether it takes place inside or outside might not matter as much as we previously thought, due to Raiden being the god of thunder, being able to kind of fucking take control of storms and shit and fly. It kind of makes this a 1v1 fight, and I think Shang Tsung has to take it.
Yeah, I think
because honestly, he's just too adaptable. He can be too many powerful things. He has an answer for too many different situations. I mean, if you talk about, like, oh, well, yeah, but Mando's got a gun. Well, Shang Tsung's got guns. He's got guns. Yeah. He's got missiles. He's got lasers.
Yeah, whatever the fuck he wants.
He's got lightning bolts. He's got drones. He's got, you know, all the crazy shit that the fucking Mortal Kombat universe can bring to bear. He's got it. And I just don't think the Mandalorian is equipped to fight something like that.
Yeah, especially not with any prep.
Because anything that would be his, you know what I mean? Anything that would be his fucking advantage,
I feel like,
is kind of countered by Shang Tsung. He could be evasive, but Shang Tsung can teleport.
Yeah, the Mandalorian would have to have more prep. Shang Tsung is
just a very diverse fighter. He's going to be tough to beat in this tournament. So
if Mando had time to prep the area and play some traps and plan it out better, I think he might have had the advantage. But seeing as they're both caught flat-footed by this.
Is anyone going to get the advantage in the fight here? Like, that's the one thing we have not seen
so far.
It's
just been great. I mean, the dice rolls
have
been
insane.
Yeah,
it's just been like, nope, they had no idea. Nope, they had no idea. I hope we get...
Even after even after even after even is crazy. So, the next fight is Dhalsim versus Iron Man. Now, this is going to be a tough fight for Dhalsim, but...
Yeah, it is. It's a weird one, though. There's a lot of things to consider here.
Now, you know, there's stuff that could happen. Let's go ahead and, first of all, see where it's going to take place, because that's definitely a huge factor. Let me get rid of the research base from the thing, so we can kind of see.
So where are these
a
two
A sex
fighting?
Toy
all
factory.
Right. All
okay.
Right. Cool,
they're
man.
Fighting in a sex toy factory. Probably somewhere in China.
Got it.
So who's first here? It's Dhalsim. Let's see Dhalsim's dice roll, because this is probably gonna be a huge factor.
Okay,
so,
doubles again.
He got doubles, but he got odd.
So he knows
Dhalsim, some prep.
Dhalsim knows he's gonna fight. He knows exactly what the fight he's getting into. He knows he's going up against Iron Man.
He knows he's going to a sex toy factory to fight.
He knows
he's chosen his ground.
Right. He knows exactly what he has. Some plans. He's the first guy in this fucking crazy tournament to have some fucking plans. Okay, but he does have to have a handicap as well. So let's see what his handicap is going to be. Mildly hallucinating.
That sounds like something Dhalsim might already be doing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Is Iron Man real?
That, once again, just might be Dhalsim.
Is what my eyes see really here?
Okay, so let's see if Iron Man is going to know what he's getting into. He is not.
Nope, no idea.
So but Iron Man's flat-footed.
He does not have.
Does that mean when we catch him, then if he's not prepared, he's not in the Iron Man suit.
No, he's not.
He can summon it.
So let's just say Tony Stark is there surveying some business interests.
Yeah, he purchased a dildo factory in China.
For some reason, he's got a dildo factory.
Maybe he wants to repurpose it for something. But yeah. Dhalsim is the current owner of the dildo factory and doesn't want the people that he's supporting to lose. So he's going to take him out.
Yeah, so let's just say it's in India and Dhalsim is protecting his,
His people.
His people and their well-being. And
maybe the dildo factory is the only, economic base in that town.
Right, it's the only place where people can work.
And Iron Man wants to close it down or bring in foreign workers or whatever, make it an Avengers base or some shit.
So Dhalsim is like, you know what, fuck that.
So Tony Stark walks in his business suit, basically.
Yeah, and Dhalsim's got a plan.
Dhalsim has got a plan. Now, let's go through Dhalsim's powers here because they come into play first.
So, elucidate all of Dhalsim's powers.
Dhalsim is a yoga master.
Right.
Which means that he can contort his body into completely impossible. He's almost Mr. What's the Fantastic Four guy?
Mr.
Fantastic.
Yes, I think.
So he's basically that. He can not only contort his body.
He can't quite stretch as far as that.
Maybe not. He's not totally elastic, but he can. It's very similar.
He can stretch his body. He can throw a punch that you know hit you from like 10 feet away and shit.
And he's also incredibly elusive as well. He's got a move called Yoga Tower that basically dodges anything that's thrown at him, whether it be a fireball, a fist, a kick, a flaming punch. It doesn't matter. If he's in Yoga Tower mode, whatever is thrown at him goes through him.
Yes.
And on top of that, he can also teleport relatively quickly. Now, there is a wind-up to it. You can see the teleportation coming. It's not instantaneous.
Right.
But
so
he is
it takes a minute to charge up.
He's able to use his yoga chi factor or whatever it is to do that. In addition to that, he's got some limited control over fire.
Yoga flame.
He can spit a fireball that'll travel across the room. He can spit a big billowing fire.
Yeah.
And he can set the ground on fire.
Right.
Underneath you.
So...
how long do you assume it's going to take Tony Stark to get his suit?
Well, I mean, like, we've seen him in the movies.
Maybe 30, 45 seconds.
He summons the suit. So we got to assume that for the first, like, 30 seconds of this fight.
Now, maybe he's got it with him, because in the movie he did
he's probably got his little suit.
Or he had Rhodey with it.
I'm going to assume he's got his little suitcase version or something like that.
So we shouldn't assume that he would just go to India and we'd have to wait for his suit to jet to him.
Right. But, I think it's going to take him. I mean, we'll assume that for the opening attack anyway. He's Tony Stark.
Right.
Which, if you have Dhalsim planning something against you,
he's going to try and catch Tony Stark before he gets in the suit.
He's basically going to try to finish him off in one fell swoop before he can even get in the Iron Man suit. Now, for the purposes of this battle, I don't think that would make sense. But I think it makes sense to say that Tony Stark is going to get injured.
He's
in the initial attack.
Yeah, he's going to get hit at least with a couple punches or something.
So, I mean, what is Dhalsim, if he's going to go after this motherfucker? He knows he's coming. He's probably set some I mean, I don't know. Is he the type to set traps? I don't really know much about Dhalsim's personality.
I don't think that Dhalsim would be a trap-laying type. He's more of a placid combatant, so he's going to use yoga in whatever his plan is. Whether it's just trying to light Tony Stark on fire, I mean, that would probably be the most direct way
I imagine that if he has a light the ground on fire ability.
I mean, he's got a fireball, he can just blow a big flame. So maybe because Tony Stark is there looking after a fucking business interest, and he knows, obviously, who owns it, and it's Dhalsim, maybe Dhalsim goes to shake hands with Tony Stark and just blows a big puff of flame at him and tries to catch him on fire.
Yeah.
And if that happens, Tony Stark is going to be more than just... minorly injured.
But you have to assume that Tony Stark has the ability. So, I mean, even if he doesn't have the suit on him, he has some technological advantage that maybe he's going to get like a half second to kind of like, maneuver.
I mean, maybe he's got a watch that turns into one of those shields or something.
Yeah,
block some of it.
Yeah, he can't block all of it, but it can block a little bit of the blow.
I think you got to give Tony Stark a little bit of plot armor because under this scenario, I think Dhalsim would just fucking torch his ass and he'd be dead.
Right. But, I mean, it's not unthinkable that Tony Stark would have something that isn't the suit, because we see that in the movies, too. That,
yeah, he's got some other defensive
stuff. You know,
stuff.
Just in case he gets jumped and can't get to the suit right away, he's going to have some stuff. So let's just say his Rolex has a fucking shield on it.
Here's what I'm envisioning. I'm envisioning Tony coming in there, he's looking at a conveyor belt, and there's a bunch of dildos going down the conveyor belt.
He's inspecting, make sure they're quality dildos.
Right, and he's standing up on kind of one of those metal grating kind of things. Mm-hmm. Near the conveyor belt, I feel like Dhalsim goes in to shake his hand, blasts him with the firebolt. Maybe Tony, like just before the flame happens, gets a little bit of a shielding effect, but not totally.
There is a wind-up to Dhalsim's fire. He has to rear back and take a big belly full of breath and say yoga flame.
So Tony gets a little bit of fucking warning. I think that some of the flame gets him. I think he gets, you know, he gets some pretty bad burns, maybe around the edges of where his shield or whatever we're saying he has can block. And I think he falls off the platform onto the dildo conveyor belt.
Yes.
Looks at the, like, turns and one, looks of, the at dildos, one of the dildos.
One of the dildos slips into his ass as a result of the fall.
I don't know if we're going to go quite that far, but I think he makes some kind of witty quip about dildos, even though he's injured, and he's kind of like, ugh. And then Dhalsim jumps down onto the dildo conveyor belt with him. And I think at that point, he starts initiating his suit.
Right.
So I think that's kind of how I see the beginning of this going down. So what happens from there?
Can Dhalsim
actually do anything to Tony Stark once he's in his suit?
Once Iron Man is in his suit, if we're saying that Iron Man is capable of being totally flat-footed and getting away from Dhalsim is going to do everything he can to keep that suit away.
Right.
Now,
I mean, like,
it can't just appear on Tony Stark.
No, it has to assemble on him.
I mean, like, you have to say this. Tony Stark, whereas he might be not expecting this fight, he's one of the Avengers. He's someone that's definitely, like, forward-thinking.
Not the first time he's been jumped.
Yeah, there's no way he's going to be, like, caught unaware.
But
he's
it probably is the first time he's
well,
been
thinking,
jumped by a yoga master.
I'm thinking,
well, maybe
look,
so.
Here's
yeah.
what I'm thinking for his injuries. I mean, I'm thinking he got hurt in the fall, so he's sore all over at this point.
He's burnt.
He's got some burns.
A little crispy.
He's got some third-degree burns on some of his body. His hair has maybe been singed. His eyebrows have been singed. So he's in a lot of pain.
Right.
So he's not just like...
And he's a normal human under there.
Right. So he's not he's not feeling great right now. He summons his suit out of... maybe like he's got to summon it. Maybe his briefcase is still up there on the fucking thing and he's got to get back
by
to
the
it
last,
or something.
By the last one, didn't he have kind of like a polymer kind of suit that would just kind of like... Or nano suit?
Yeah, he did.
He did have a nano... But it still takes time for it to come on. And, Dhalsim's not just going to stand there stunned while... You know what I mean?
Dhalsim knows this is Iron
Man.
Well,
now he's under
attack. He had time to prepare.
Now he's under attack. You have to assume the minute he's blocking, he started to initiate that process. So maybe...
Dhalsim is going to beat on him.
But Dhalsim is going to go get... He's going to jump down on that platform and get a few more blows on in him.
Blow more fire at him, too.
Yeah, then maybe like the fourth or fifth time he goes to attack, the suit's on.
Well, I don't think he's going to do more fire because, like you said, there's a wind-up for that. But there's no wind-up for him to go down there and start pounding on the motherfucker.
Right. He's just comboing him.
Right, so
he doesn't even have to jump down. He just stretches his
feet
and hands down there and just pummels, Tony while the suit's coming on. So Tony is not going to be in tip-top shape in the suit.
So by the time
to take fucking
by the time Tony gets the suit on, he's beat up.
We've seen that before too.
Right,
Tony is he's not at the peak of his powers because the body inside of the suit is damaged and in pain.
So he's got the suit.
He's not going to be Iron Man at the peak of his powers, but let's talk about what the Iron Man suit can do.
It's a pretty impressive fucking suit.
The Iron Man suit can fly.
It can fly.
It is impervious to most normal damage. The fire is definitely going to do nothing to it.
The fire now is basically
neutralized. Which is a huge part of Dhalsim's arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, like, he doesn't say, I mean, like...
So it's got to be hand-to-hand at that point.
Does Dhalsim have any... I mean, can Dhalsim do anything hand-to-hand to the suit, or is Tony basically just in a protective cocoon that can't be penetrated at
this point? Dhalsim is also... He's super strong, because he goes up against some people that are just, supernaturally strong.
I mean, if the conceit is that Iron Man could be confronted by a dude with pretty much no body armor who just has two electric whips... I'm assuming Dhalsim has to be able to do something against
him. Right. Yeah. Dhalsim, and they're in a precarious environment. Dhalsim could pull part of this factory down onto Iron Man as well. He could use the environment, you know what I mean? Not that Iron Man would be horribly, horribly damaged by such a thing, but it's definitely an option that I think Dhalsim would use. Using his super strength
Our conceit is that he's trying to save this factory, so I don't think he's going to try to pull the factory down.
I guess that's true.
Well, I think, you know, first thing Iron Man's going to do is he's going to go into the
air.
And
we already said he's not a trap layer.
I mean, Iron Man's going to go in the air. He's going to survey the site. He's going to look around and say, what can I use to my advantage? And obviously, with the ability to fly, he has a serious advantage of what he can maneuver to and the speed which
he's also got those laser beams.
If Dhalsim, now, with Dhalsim's agility and stuff, I think what he's going to try to do is, I think he's going to try to climb up on that fucking suit. He's going to try to fucking be on top of this motherfucker. And I think he's going to try to just rip the suit fucking apart.
Or stop it from finishing.
With his bare fucking hands. Or maybe even try to stop it from,
Or use his entire rubbery body as some kind of restraint. Like, just wrap it around the suit and keep it from, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, it almost becomes a battle to try to stop Iron Man from becoming Iron Man. Because if that suit goes on...
There's almost no way you can argue.
There's no way he could fucking really win. So I think that his main fucking mission here is to try to keep that suit off of Tony Stark. And do everything he can to prevent it from actually doing it and try to put Tony away before the suit can even get on him.
I mean, with the last iteration of the suit, I don't know if that's even possible.
So let's...
But
he's got the nano suit, there's really no way to fucking stop it.
That's what I'm saying. But so if you're assuming he has that, then I don't know how...
I think that suit might be too high-powered for this fight.
I mean,
I think we got to go with a lesser version of the fucking suit.
Yeah, you're going to kind of have
to.
Like the briefcase suit from 2.
Yeah. Like, I think it has to still be something made of mechanical components, because if we're going to go with this nano suit, it's pretty much on him like a flash, and there's nothing Dhalsim can really do to fucking stop it.
Right.
And I just think it's too one-sided at that point. So I think we got to have him in a version of the suit that Dhalsim could potentially fucking prevent from you know, getting on him all the way.
Dhalsim can also fly. He can also hover. To a certain extent,
yeah.
And move while he's hovering. So he's not just in one place,
right? So he can kind of float.
He's not super fast. There's nothing that shows that he.
But he can't fly like the Iron Man.
But he
Man
can also
suit.
Teleport while floating and maintain the float.
Okay.
So he can be floating and then be somewhere else in, you know, a split second. So there's a lot of factors here.
Yeah.
That we have to consider. But I think that ultimately, and this is just my gut with this, I think that ultimately Tony Stark is going to get that suit on.
Yeah. I mean, there's just I don't see him being able to totally stop.
I think
him
it's going to be a struggle, and I think Dhalsim's going to do whatever he can do. He's going to hit him. He's going to try to do flame attacks. But ultimately, you're right. I don't see him.
I think
stopping.
It's a closer fight than a lot of the ones that we've had before. But I do think that, you know, if Tony Stark doesn't get the suit on, I don't know that Dhalsim is the guy that can keep him from doing that.
Yeah, and
I don't know that his power set is particularly geared towards stopping this from happening.
He could, a couple good blows.
He could knock the fucking briefcase away or play keep away with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd probably be the best. I mean, like, you know, I mean, I'm imagining if Tony Stark, during that initial fall, lost that briefcase and it's up there and he's down on the fucking dildo conveyor and he's got to try to get back to it, Dhalsim is going to do a pretty good job of playing keep away with that fucking briefcase.
But we've also seen that the suit can come to him.
Yeah, so I mean, like, there's certain things he can say that can make the suit fly
to him. I mean, you can't nerf the suit so much where it's almost impossible to get.
See, I mean, like, I feel like ultimately...
I don't think Dhalsim is the guy.
I think Dhalsim is going to try his best. He's going to make a valiant effort to keep
the suit. I
think he's going
to fuck him up. I think that Tony Stark is going to have some recovery time after this fight,
but
for sure.
I think once that Iron Man suit is on, is there really anything Dhalsim can do against it?
Dhalsim is a fucking city
dog. He uses his fists and his feet and fire. So he's just going to, you know.
He's not going to prevail.
So I think that by a hair, honestly, Iron Man wins just by virtue of getting the suit on. And Dhalsim not really having any kind of specialty
a huge credit to Dhalsim. And, you know, just the fact that Iron Man can even survive, because, like you said, he's not expecting the fight, and Dhalsim has time to plan.
So, our next bout is a bout between two of our losers here. RoboCop versus the Joker.
Oh, God.
So, let's see where this is going to take place. Let's get rid of the sex toy factory here.
It's the old abandoned warehouse.
The sex toys never really came too much into play.
That's like the perfect
still
location.
Fun to imagine. Munchkin Lands.
Okay.
Are
the Munchkins jumping in?
The Munchkins are there, but they're probably hiding.
Okay.
Yeah, hiding in fear for their lives.
In terror. But, you know, they're there. I mean, it's their town. Of course they're there.
I mean, the White Witch, Glinda, visits often. Is she in town?
We'll have to decide that in the course of the battle, I guess. So let's vote. Who's first on here?
RoboCop.
So let's do a dice roll for RoboCop.
Doubles again.
Doubles again. got a six, so that doesn't really mean he's
unprepared.
Even number, so he's unprepared.
Damn,
he's,
RoboCop's never expected
RoboCop
this shit.
Never knows what's going on.
Yeah. He's flat-footed.
So let's see what his handicap's going to be. Has fallen in love with opponent.
Okay.
So
I want to be with you.
RoboCop has maybe been convinced that the Joker is like his lost wife or something.
Yeah. Okay.
RoboCop is a glitchy motherfucker, dude.
He really is.
Okay, what about the Joker?
Okay, so let's see what the Joker gets here.
The Joker knows.
So the Joker has time to prepare, but he still has a handicap, so let's see what the Joker's handicap is.
Okay. Wasn't 11 one of the...
Has a terrible cold, and
okay,
11
is
not one
of the
numbers.
Twists.
It's 4, 8, 13, and 17.
Okay.
But the Joker knows he's fighting RoboCop in Munchkinland.
So the Joker knows that this battle with RoboCop is going down in Munchkinland. But
he has
RoboCop has fallen in love with the Joker, and the Joker has a cold. So
I don't think it's going to limit the Joker that much. Maybe a little bit.
The Joker is going to be sniffly and maybe a little bit tired.
Wasn't there an episode of the fucking the animated series where the Joker was sick and he had like a thermometer in his mouth? And
I think so.
I feel like there was maybe.
He had like a bandage on his head.
Yeah, I kind of see that in my head. So.
So is he notoriously a pussy when he's sick? He has to have Harley Quinn take care of him a lot?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't know if that actually happened or if you just put that image in my head.
I have the image in my mind.
Yeah, but you remember there being a movie called Shazam starring Sinbad.
There was.
I specifically remember. It's never happened. It didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Not in this timeline, it didn't.
Maybe not. So I don't know. We'll say that the Joker, we'll just kind of like, you know, imagine it takes away like 20% of his, you know, speed and maybe a little bit of his, you know,
sure,
sort of.
He's a little hindered by it. He's not in top shelf form.
He's, you know,
but he has had time to prepare a menagerie of bullshit.
But he's gotten,
isn't Munchkinland kind of like the perfect place for the Joker if he has time to plan? There's going to be a lot of weird animatronics and shit. He's going to have shit rigged up. He's going to have explosives rigged up.
So let's once again kind of look at the lay of the land here.
Yeah, we got to look at Munchkinland.
I mean,
this is a ridiculous one.
I mean, also an opponent that's fallen in love with
the
Joker.
Yeah, so RoboCop is in love with him.
I mean, is he even like going to want to hurt the Joker at that point?
So, I mean, like the Joker is probably going to use that to his advantage to kind of lure the fucking RoboCop into a trap, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Like, he's going to be like, oh, come here. What's RoboCop?
Come here, sweetie. Come to mama. It's been so long.
So let's take a little glance. I mean, Munchkinland, you know, it's, you know.
There's huts around.
There's
a little pond
and stuff,
there.
And there's a little pond that just, I don't think that pond is going to be a factor.
No,
it looks
shallow.
You got
the yellow brick road.
So there's not a whole lot of environmental factors here, unless the Joker just rigs a hut to explode and kind of lures RoboCop into it and blows it the fuck up or
now,
something.
Now, you got to remember that RoboCop is bound by his prime directive, which is to protect the innocent and uphold the law.
Yes.
So there's not much things that are more innocent than the little munchkins, and the Joker is going to know this. He's had time to prepare. So he's going to be able to not only just directly fight and trap RoboCop, but also threaten violence or do violence against the Munchkins in ways that are going to force RoboCop to react to that rather than trying to kill the Joker.
I mean, he can rig fucking a ton of explosives throughout the town. He could have a giant little, like a Munchkin statue that's going to release a gas that'll kill them all.
Well, let's remember, too, this love angle. So, I mean, like, RoboCop is in love with the Joker.
I think that shuts him down, honestly, because it's really flashbacks about his wife that imperil RoboCop the most in at least one of the movies.
Right. So, I mean, this is a tremendous disadvantage for him. If he mistakenly is, like, getting some bad input where he thinks the Joker is his wife, or either that or something has gone haywire where he just literally is in love with the Joker.
I'll be honest, I'm sorry, dude. With the Joker repairing this and the town and having just everything against RoboCop and having the worst possible thing, the one thing that's really going to disable him in the fight, I don't see how RoboCop can possibly fucking win.
Yeah. I mean, look at the other things, too. Joker's used to fighting a big armored behemoth in the form of Batman, but Batman is way more mobile, way more, you know, he's not limited to just kind of walking into the middle of the square and firing his gun, which is really what RoboCop is best at here.
But RoboCop is willing to use lethal force, whereas Batman's not. But
that
I mean,
true.
The whole love angle, I mean, like, I just feel
he's
like
not going to shoot the Joker. He's going to be thinking about, like, how much he loves the Joker, you
I
know?
I mean, I'm assuming at some point in the fight he's going to snap out of it, but I mean, like, it's just going to be after he's already been lured into a trap, and then the Joker is going to use these innocent little munchkins to, you know, as shields 100%. And stuff. To
he's going
to
realize that RoboCop has programming that prevents him from allowing, by omission of action, the, you know, the killing of an innocent.
I mean, the Joker's no slouch. He's a fucking world-class supervillain.
He
there's
uses
just
that against Batman a lot.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, like, there's just no way that RoboCop comes out ahead with this set of disadvantages.
I mean,
it's
I think
insurmountable.
That if the roles had gone differently and Joker was caught flat-footed here, we might be singing a different tune. But the way the roles went on this one really stacked the deck against RoboCop.
Yeah, it's really not even close.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way
that's
the meatball
it.
Bounces.
RoboCop loses two in a row, and he's gone.
Sorry, yeah. RoboCop. I mean, I think RoboCop got the raw deal. I think that, you know, with some different roles, he could have fucking come out on top of this whole thing.
But that's, you know, it's all chance.
He just had bad luck.
Yep.
So the next one is The Mandalorian versus Dhalsim.
Another interesting
another
one.
Another one where Dhalsim has got to fight some dude in armor. But the Mandalorian's armor is not nearly as sophisticated as Tony Stark's.
No, it isn't.
So let's go ahead and see what the Mandalorian is going to roll. Well, let's see where it's going to take place, first of all. So Munchkin Land is out of commission.
Off the list.
The City Dump.
Okay. That adds a lot of...
That's going to be a smelly fight, dude.
That adds a lot of depth.
So let's see who's first here. The Mandalorian gets to roll first. 12, which is not one of...
So he doesn't know it's coming.
That's the only thing that determines he doesn't know it's coming. There's
but
no
he doesn't
doubles,
have a handicap.
There's no handicap. He just doesn't know it's going to happen. Okay. That's this thing. So, and then Dhalsim. No handicap.
Same thing.
Okay.
Doesn't know it's coming. There's no handicap here. It's just raw. These two meet at the City Dump and got a fight.
they immediately see each other and they know they have to destroy one another.
We're enemies.
Hey, maybe Tony Stark was mad, hires the Mandalorian to go take
care of. Well, no, because then he'd know.
Have you guys ever been to a landfill before?
That's right.
Yes.
It is a very precarious environment filled with like pits and sand dunes of trash. And there's something here that I think is very limiting for Dhalsim.
He's barefoot.
Yes. I've never once seen Dhalsim wear shoes or really any kind of protection on him.
In fairness to Dhalsim, he is from India, which is like there's trash everywhere.
So maybe he's used to it.
Yeah, maybe he's used to the
maybe
trash.
Maybe he's like, oh, it's like fighting at home.
Oh, okay, sorry, India.
Sorry, India. I mean, it's true, though.
You know, sad but true, guys. No, I think Dhalsim, he's got a series of disadvantages here. I'm starting to think that maybe he's just not cut out for this contest. But
I don't know, dude. We really had to think about him versus Iron Man.
Yeah, sure.
And that's because it was more favorable to Dhalsim.
There was some, but I mean,
if
like,
a couple of roles
there.
Had gone differently, if Iron Man had a different disability, or you know, or one of the fucking plot twists had been thrown out, I think Dhalsim could have beat fucking Iron Man.
So
maybe but,
both of these guys have fire at their disposal. The Mandalorian has a huge flamethrower.
Dhalsim
has
is not affected by his own fire,
right,
so it really kind of neutralizes their fire powers.
Should we assume basically that the Mandalorian's flamethrower is useless against Dhalsim?
Yeah, because, I mean, Dhalsim walks around in his own fire.
I mean, yeah,
he's
hard
breathing it out of his lungs. I mean, how much more burnt can you get, you know?
He can turn himself into almost like a human torch
Unlike Tony Stark, who is going to be caught outside of his armor, the Mandalorian is wearing his armor from the get-go because he never takes it off.
Right. He's not going to be caught with his pants down, for sure.
He's wearing his armor. He's got his jetpack. He's going to be flying through the air. Now, Dhalsim can levitate, but...
I mean, he can't move quickly in the air.
He can't really fly through the air like fucking Superman.
It limits him, but he can teleport.
Yes.
So he could teleport right up next to the Mandalorian while he's flying around, and you know, and I really honestly don't think the Mandalorian is as well protected by his armor as Iron Man is.
It's just not as
technologically integrated.
Well, I think the armor itself, I think the metal it's made of in Star Wars lore is like pretty fucking insanely tough, but. It's also super rare, so it's not covering his entire body. There are vulnerable spots.
Sure.
Where he has to move.
Would the Mandalorian in those spots be vulnerable to fire?
Yes.
So
absolutely.
That's one point for Dhalsim is that the Mandalorian's flamethrower, which is a big part of his arsenal, is pretty much, I think we've agreed, I mean, not still, useful.
Well, so still, here's he still has a blaster, though. So
here's the thing. He's got a blaster, but more importantly, he has those charges, which I feel like he's not. I feel like he's going to throw those on some of these big trash piles and just throw fucking huge amounts of shrapnel and debris Dalsim's way at every fucking corner and turn.
It's a city dump as well, so it's not like, I mean, there's going to be infinite number of places to hide that charge. It's not like Dalsim's going to be able to spot the charge before, you know.
Neither of these guys have time to prepare, but it doesn't take that long to throw a charge at a fucking hill of trash.
There's so many places to duck in. If he pops out and he sees him, okay, I'm going to go attack him, boom, he blows it up.
Dalsim is able, like I said, that yoga tower ability that he has that, you know, can dodge anything in the game, whether it be a strike with a fist or a sword. Or a fireball being thrown at him, it just basically goes by him. So he's definitely quick enough and can use his body contortions to kind of get around a lot of projectiles and shit. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, you know, that represented in his power
set. He definitely can be hit, because otherwise you just couldn't beat him. I mean, like,
anybody in this can be hit.
Right. So I'm wondering if, like, he throws some charges down, throws a bunch of shrapnel up, and then while Dalsim is dodging that shrapnel, he's fucking coming in for the attack. You know, he's got that fucking that cable line that he can shoot out pretty accurately.
Sure.
I don't know if he's going to be able to rope Dalsim in that, but he's probably going to be able to rope some other stuff and, you know, maybe
pull the ground out
from under his feet or throw something at him, fling something at him. He's got that blaster.
I mean, you have to assume he's either going to blow Dalsim up or he's going to shoot him.
Dalsim is going to be throwing fireballs like a motherfucker. Now, there is a little bit of charge time on those, but Dalsim's quick enough that he's, you know, I mean, you know, the Mandalorian might not really understand what is a safe distance from Dalsim, too. So
he's unprepared, so he doesn't know.
He's not prepared for this motherfucker to just stretch out.
Yeah, and hit him.
But he is armored. A lot of the parts of bodies that, like, a blow would land on, they're not going to be as damaging. I think he's more susceptible to blunt force trauma than Iron Man would be.
Yes. But Dalsim doesn't really have any heavy weapons or anything. I mean, but if Dalsim looks at the guy, you can pretty much tell where he's armored and where he's not.
I mean,
so
he's super strong. Dalsim is. He's probably, like, outside of the armor, he's way
stronger.
More strength.
Yeah, he's got more physical strength than the Mandalorian does. So, I mean, I think that, you know, if he fucking assesses his enemy, looks the weak spots, maybe he fucking, you know, maybe he's going to grab him. You know, maybe he doesn't necessarily throw a punch. Maybe he fucking does a grab and tosses this motherfucker down where he can get one of his fireballs off, which is going to burn the shit out of every area of the Mandalorian not protected by that body armor.
Right. And being thrown around and stuff, like, all of the Mandalorian shit, like his gadgets and stuff, can be damaged. Like, you could damage that backpack to the point where it's not going to let him fly anymore, and then he's fucked.
But, I mean, another thing is,
is he going to let, the, you know, Dalsim get that close?
In the same way that
Dalsim can teleport.
I mean, he can teleport, but
he's right there. Boom. Rip off the fucking backpack.
But another thing about the Mandalorian, though, too, is that, you know, as far as that blaster goes, like, he's basically like Clint Eastwood with that motherfucker.
He's super good with the blaster.
So he's going to fucking, I mean, he's definitely going to, I mean, it's going to be really tough in this area with so much cover. Like, I don't know if the Mandalorian's necessarily going to, I mean, you know, I mean, other than being teleported next to, which can happen. But I think other than that, he's going to try to keep his distance from this guy, especially if he realizes.
Yeah, he can shoot fire
that he,
and stretch
out.
Not
only does he have this fire ability, but he has this ability to fucking stretch and contort himself really fucking far.
Well, I mean,
I don't know what the range is on Dalsim's teleport.
I mean, it's definitely not. He can't. I don't think he can.
He can't teleport across the world or something.
No, but he can, you know.
But within this fight, I think that he can probably teleport.
Well, you have to ask yourself, do you think that Dalsim can close the gap and get to the Mandalorian? Because if it's, you know, hand-to-hand, I mean, Dalsim's going to win.
Right. I mean, without the armor, without the gadgets.
Can Dalsim neutralize all those gadgets and gizmos? Because let's see. I mean, he's got a pretty big arsenal of this shit. He's got these charges. He's got this cable line. He's got this blaster. He's got this Beskar armor. He's got this flamethrower, which we kind of decided is not going to be much of a factor. I think that pretty much sums it up for his gadgets.
So we got to think, too. Dalsim can set the landscape on fire here.
Yes.
Like, it's a big pile of trash, so he could basically turn the dump into an inferno.
Hey guys, we wouldn't normally do this, but this episode ended up so long that we decided we're going to split it into two parts. So for you patrons, you'll get to see the conclusion this Friday. For you plebs, you're going to have to wait a little while.
Or you'll have to evolve and become patrons.
You can always become a patron and see it. There's always that.
They put half of it behind a paywall.
I hate you. Fuck you, die. Yeah, we suck. We're horrible. We're exploitative. We're mean. But, you know, we are going to give you guys the rest of the episode eventually, even if you are not willing to pay. But you're not going to get it this Friday. You're going to get it like a month from now or something.
And I got
to
tell you guys, the back half of this episode is...
It gets way crazier.
You're not going to want to miss it.
I mean,
the front half was crazy as fuck, but the back half gets absolutely fucking insane.
I wouldn't normally say this, but the back half... I mean, this is the best way to put this. This is a shitty episode. I wouldn't normally say that, but
yeah.
It's a shitty... I mean, take that as you will, because I don't want to reveal any details, but it's a shitty episode.
There you go.
It's shitty in all the best ways.
In all the best possible scatological ways.
All right. So, you patrons, once again, conclusion of this episode on Friday. For you non-patrons...
Gotta wait.
Become patrons. But if you're not willing to do that, then you'll see the conclusion in a month or so. And that's just how it's gonna be, bitch.
That's how it is.
That's the bottom line, because TJ said so.